Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 26th. So are you welcoming another run for president from Ralph Nader or dreading it? Or don't you think it matters one way or the other? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will talk with a political analyst about Ralph Nader's announcement on Sunday's Meet the Press that he has decided again to run for president. And we'll wonder if you think he has a good reason to throw his hat in the ring, or if you think he will make a difference in the debate of the issues, or if you think he might siphon away votes from the Democratic nominee.
Let me put it in context to make it a little more palatable to people who have closed minds. 24% of the American people are satisfied with the state of the country, according to Gallup. That's about the lowest ranking ever. 61% think both major parties are failing. And according to Frank Lutz's poll, a Republican, 80% will consider voting for an independent this year. Now, you take that framework of people feeling locked out, shut out, marginalized, disrespected, and you go from Iraq to Palestine, Israel, from Enron to Wall Street, from Katrina to the bungling of the Bush administration, to the complicity of the Democrats in not stopping him on the war, stopping him on the tax cuts, getting a decent energy bill through. And you have to ask yourself, as a citizen, should we elaborate the issues that the two are not talking about?
Let us know what you think of Nader's announcement as we talk with our guest, Daryl West, a professor of political science at Brown University and author of a number of books, including Celebrity Politics. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure.
So will Ralph Nader be a factor or a big factor in the 2008 race for president?
I don't think he will be a big factor. Each time he has run, he has gotten fewer and fewer votes, and that historically is the case. Generally, when you have repeat runners, especially independent candidates or third-party candidates, they almost always do the best the first time out, and then their margin erodes thereafter.
Yeah, so what, he got about 3% or so of the vote in 2000, and then 0.03% or less than 0.5% in 2004?
Which means when you look at the trend line, he might be 0.005 the next time out. So I just don't think he's going to be a major factor.
Yeah, you know, he says it's going to be different this time. Here,
I think so. And the purpose of this campaign is to build for the future, not just to focus on 2008. It's to build alternative parties, build a new democracy, involve more people in solving the problems in this country as they see it.
So it's not just this race, it's building for the future.
And that, you know, is the reason that he's running. Typically, third-party or independent candidates run because they realize they don't have much hope of winning the race, but they see that as a platform to really advocate for particular ideas, and historically that's been very important. Some of the major policy changes that we have seen have come from third-party races. But in this particular race, given the polarization between the left and right, the polarization between Republicans and Democrats, and as of right now, it looks like, you know, McCain's going to be the Republican nominee, and Obama seems to be in the lead on the Democratic side. Both those individuals run very well among independents, and so I think that takes away part of the base for any type of independent candidate.
Yeah, well, you heard him say in his announcement that people are disgruntled with the state of the country today, and that they're disgruntled with the two major parties. And he cited that poll that said 80% would consider voting for an independent.
Well, people certainly are disgruntled with the Iraq War and with George Bush and what's going on in Washington, but it doesn't mean they're disgruntled with the choices. In fact, we've had the largest and most diverse field of presidential candidates in American history. We've had a Mormon, a woman, an African-American, and a Latino, among others, contesting this race. There's been a wide range of philosophical perspectives represented in the two parties, and I just don't see that there's a lot of space left for a Ralph Nader in this campaign.
Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton responded to the news that Ralph Nader was going to run again by saying, well, that's certainly not good news for the Democratic nominee. You don't think it hurts the Democratic nominee at all?
Well, if you're the Democratic nominee, you certainly don't want any other alternative in that left-to-center part of the political spectrum. So as an abstract point, she's certainly right. But in practical terms, I just don't see any big groundwell of support for him or any other left-to-center candidate other than whoever the Democratic nominee is going to be. He's not likely to be able to raise much money. In the past, he's had an enormous problem just getting on the ballot, because you have to get on the ballot in each of the 50 states, and you can spend a lot of time and money just getting on the ballot, aside from the issue of running your campaign. And I just don't think there's going to be a huge public support for him. I don't think he's going to decide this election.
We're talking with Darrell West, a professor of political science at Brown University, about Ralph Nader's announcement that he will run again as a third-party candidate for president. What's your reaction to Ralph throwing his hat into the ring? What questions do you have for our guest? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 26th. Well, good news. Kathleen Dunn is back today. That announcement from John Munson was outdated. Kathleen will be back on today and again on Thursday. She's easing her way back on the air. I know she's happy to be back. She'll be talking after 9 o'clock with NPR's political junkie Ken Rudin. So the talk will be politics with Kathleen Dunn and her guests after 9 o'clock this morning. We're talking politics during this hour as well, talking about Ralph Nader's new bid for president. In 2008, Ralph Nader announcing on Meet the Press on Sunday that he is going to run again. We are talking about the announcement and the impact on the race with Darrell West, a professor of political science at Brown University. And we have one line open for you if you'd like to weigh in. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And to the phones we go. Rich in Hustisford is first. Hi, Rich, you're on the air.
Morning.
Morning.
I just want to say good for him. Said it helps out the Republicans. It takes even the littlest amount away from the Democrats, if it could be a close race, because McCain, he's one of those ones that he works with both sides, and people might look at him as the, you know, the military leader they need, and also, yeah, he does work with both sides, so we might get more independence and stuff, but the ones that he pulls away from the Democrats, more power to him.
All right.
That's my comment.
Rich, a Republican saying, yay, Ralph. This will help John McCain. Darrell West?
Nader would have to get 2, 3, or 4% of the vote nationally in order to really have an impact on this race. And when you look at the 2000 election, there actually were some states where his margin was bigger than the total by which either Bush or Gore carried that particular state. But by 2004, that was no longer the case. I mean, there really wasn't any state where the Nader vote was big enough that if one of the candidates had gotten all of that vote, it would have altered the outcome in that particular state. So to assume that he is going to affect this race, you have to assume he's going to get 2, 3, or 4%.
Yeah, but isn't each year, each race different? This isn't a Gore Bush, this isn't Kerry Bush, this could be Obama McCain.
Every race certainly has its own dynamics, and you know, we don't really know what the situation is going to look like 5 months out. But you know, we had one of the closest races in American history in 2000. The 2004 race was very competitive, and this year I would expect the general election to be very competitive. But people still have to assume Nader's going to get a big vote, that he's actually going to do better in 08 than he did in 04. And historically, that just hasn't been the case. I mean, we have the Harold Stassen situation. I think he ran 7 or 8 times. Each time he ran, he got fewer and fewer votes. Ross Perot did extremely well in 92, the first time he ran, but then kind of dropped off the map the second time he ran. And that is more the historic pattern.
Now we go to John in Madison. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, I'm happy to see Ralph run. he said in his interview with Tim Russert this last Sunday that he expects the Democrats to win. So I don't think he has any misconceptions about his chances in the race. But, you know, Nader certainly didn't decide the 2000 race. Yeah, that was decided by the Supreme Court meddling in the political sphere. The biggest poll of taken by the five major news networks of all possible voters said that Gore won in every possible way you count them, whether they're hanging chads or not. The Supreme Court interfered with that vote count, so that's why Gore lost. Leaving aside, you know, Jews for Buchanan or the manipulation of the voting rolls in Florida, Gore won. That was a manipulated election, and it can't be ascribed to Nader. But even had Nader interfered, he was perfectly eligible to be a third candidate voter, and if he believed that his party should be the one going, it doesn't matter if it slid it off to one of the other parties. The main thing I like about Nader being in this election is his message still holds. The two major parties are too broad tent and they're too corporate controlled to really reflect the constituents. And they completely take off the field of observation for the main public, all sorts of issues that should be there. And this is what I want to see Nader bring him into the public arena. Unfortunately, Nader has been excluded from the major debates, and one of the major reasons that he's getting into the election this time is in the 2004 election, the Democratic Party kept him off the ballot.
Yeah, John, can I ask you something? What are the issues that you think Nader can bring to the table that are different than a McCain-Obama race?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Single-payer health.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely huge. Mandating universal health coverage in a private sphere means that the efficiency is not going to be addressed. And this, you just had something on the news that said that the health care premiums are going to go up 100% over the next 10 years. That's over 10% per year, and it's been that way for the last 20 years. None of the candidates are addressing that. The Israeli-Palestinian situation is not being addressed. Nader addresses it. The massive expansion of the military-industrial complex, taking over 50% of all the discretionary budget, hasn't been mentioned. You can go on and on. None of them are going after corporate crime. John McCain is one of the biggest advocates of deregulation, despite almost getting sunk by that issue with the SNL crisis. He interfered with the regulators on top of the deregulation of the SNLs. And we've had two since then that have cost this country trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
Nader's message is absolutely important for everyone.
Yeah, I asked, and well, what about all those issues, Darrell West? Doesn't Nader bring those issues to the table?
Absolutely, and that historically has been the virtue of third party and independent candidates, that say they are willing to say things and propose ideas that are not being talked about by the major party candidates. But if you assume that Barack Obama or even Hillary Clinton is going to be the nominee, you know, they have been talking about the health care issue. Hillary Clinton has a plan for universal health care.
But it's not single payer, right?
That involves mandates.
Mm-hmm.
Obama does not. Neither one has proposed a single payer health care system. But it's not clear that position or discussing the military-industrial complex is going to win Nader lots of votes. I mean, he had exactly the same platform in 2004 and got far less than 1% of the vote.
Yeah. Barack Obama, reacting to Ralph Nader's announcement, said, and I'm paraphrasing, Nader didn't think there was any difference between the major party candidates in 2000, Gore and Bush, and I think we all know now that Ralph didn't know what he was talking about.
And I think that is how Democrats will play that issue. And actually, if you look at the difference between a McCain or an Obama or Clinton on health care, on education, on the Iraq War, this is at a general election where there are going to be very clear differences between Republicans and Democrats. And what any independent candidate has to tap into is a perception that there really isn't a hill of beans of difference between the two major parties. And there certainly have been some elections, like when Perot ran in 92, where voters actually perceived that, and Perot ended up getting 20% of the vote. But in this election year, I think voters are going to perceive big differences between the Republican and Democratic nominee, and that then undermines the prospects of any independent candidate, whether it's a Ralph Nader or a Michael Bloomberg, who also there's been speculation about a possible independent run.
Yeah. A comment on John's observation that he didn't win or he didn't hurt Gore in the 2000 election. It was the Supreme Court that that gave that election to Bush.
Well, certainly the Supreme Court was the decisive one, but if you go back and look at each of the 50 states, I mean, there's been research that has looked at this, and there were, I believe, seven or eight states from 2000 where the size of the Nader vote was big enough that it, if it had shifted towards the Democrat, then Gore would have won that particular state. Now, that doesn't prove that Nader decided the race, but it shows that there at least was a potential, whereas in 2004, there was no state where even if the Democrat had gotten all of the Nader vote, John Kerry would have ended up being the American president.
And John's probably right that it's going to be tough for Nader to break into the debates, should there be debates between the major party candidates.
The typical standard that debate organizers use for third-party candidates is a 5% threshold, that if they're running above 5% in public opinion polls before that general election debate, they generally get invited. So, you know, like Pro was invited in the 92 debates. Nader has not been invited because he has never been able to meet that 5% threshold.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, John. Bree in Madison is with us now. Hi, Bree.
Hi. Actually, I had a question about the debates. I was wondering if the guests had seen An Unreasonable Man, and particularly the comments by Lawrence O'Donnell about how not including Ralph Nader on the debates and then blaming him for having a factor when he was kept off because he was considered not a factor by the CPD, the fairness of that. And then secondly, my second question was about if he's familiar with the open debates criteria suggested that, the open debates criteria that as long as a candidate can, I can't remember the poll percentage, but then also in addition, as long as a candidate has the capability of winning by being on enough state ballots, that that should be criteria for entrance into the debates.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just want to talk about maybe the fairness of that 5% factor.
There certainly is a historic unfairness in the way our political system treats third-party candidates, because when you go back to the history, basically we've had a two-party system, and all the rules have been biased in favor of two parties. Like, they don't have to collect signatures to get on the general election ballot because their candidates have done well in the past, and so they basically get automatic ballot access. Any independent candidate who comes along where there's no history of that party having gotten at least 5% of the vote, they have to go through this cumbersome signature process to get on the ballot, and it, you know, it does bias against it. But that's the reality of the American political system, and any independent candidate has to recognize that there's a 5% threshold to get into debates, that if you're representing a party that has not gotten 5% of the vote in a past election, you're going to have to collect signatures to get on the ballot, and that has created enormous barriers to past third-party candidates.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Darrell West, a professor of political science at Brown University, author of a number of books, including Celebrity Politics, talking about Ralph Nader announcing he will again run for president as a third-party candidate. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, February the 26th. And we're wondering what you think of Ralph Nader's announcement that he will run for president. Wondering if you are cheering, "Go Ralph, go," or yelling, "No, Ralph, no." Ralph Nader says that he is the best choice for president.
Well, because I get things done. I've got a 40-year record here in Washington that has saved millions of lives and prevented injuries, safer cars, safer food. We passed the Drinking Water Safety Act, Freedom of Information Act. It's not just rhetoric. But in the last few years, big money and the closing down of Washington against citizen groups prevent us from trying to improve our country. And I want everybody to have the right
an opportunity to improve their country. And Thomas Jefferson put it very well. When you lose your government, you got to go in the electoral arena. He called it a revolution. Let's call it a Jeffersonian revolution is needed in this country.
So do we need a Jeffersonian revolution? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Our guest is Darrell West, a professor of political science at Brown University, author of a number of books, including Celebrity Politics. And our next caller is Kurt in Springbrook. Hi, Kurt, you're on the air.
Hi. I was listening to Ben Maron's show last night about Ralph Nader, and he mentioned something that stuck with me, that he said that he's been interviewing Ralph for the past 25 years, and steadily he's seeing people not like Ralph anymore as time goes on, especially after the 2000 election. And you just look at Ralph Nader's history. I mean, he, consumer advocate, he basically fought for the citizens of the United States on the issues, like John from Madison said before. I mean, he's dead on. And the thing is, and another thing is, back in the 60s and 70s, I mean, this guy was a force. I mean, he had support.
Yeah, we just heard him talk about his record getting things done, especially in the Consumer Advocacy Forum, Kurt. So you like the fact that he's running or not?
Yeah, I do like the fact that he's running, and I just want to ask, what has happened to the constituents' attitudes since the 60s and 70s compared to now? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, Darrell West, any idea what's going on?
Well, that's a very good question, and there have been major changes in American public opinion over the last 30 to 40 years. And a lot of people have tremendous respect for Nader's early work on consumer safety and worker protections, but the country has become more conservative. The political parties are much more polarized now than they were 20 and 30 years ago, and I think the polarization in particular creates a lot of problems in terms of third parties trying to run, because when you basically have a highly polarized electorate, it forces people to either vote left or vote right. They become less willing to look at alternative viewpoints, either a Nader on the left or, say, a Ron Paul or a Michael Bloomberg on the more conservative side.
Yeah. I know what Ben Maron's, my colleague who does the Afternoon Drive program, is talking about when we've done programs with Ralph Nader here in the mornings. At first, considered a hero of sorts, and now I'm sensing at least more and more people who are strictly, Democrats, are mad at him.
Well, it reflects the polarized world in which we live. The Democrats always worry if there is a liberal alternative or a Green Party alternative on the ballot, that that's going to essentially divide the left and allow the Republican candidate to win. And, there was some concern, I think with good reason, in regard to 2000. There's no evidence that Nader affected the 2004 election, and I would be shocked if Nader affected the 2008 election.
Yeah, in fact, here's an email from Jay, who says Ralph Nader used to be a hero. I do think he gave the election to Bush. I was willing to think he didn't expect what happened then, but I do not think he can claim the same today.
I mean, I think the problem is when somebody keeps running as an independent candidate, generally the first time out, they're kind of a fresh face and people welcome the perspective. But after that, their support just falls off because they're no longer a novelty. They're somebody who's been around. And at this point, Ralph Nader's biggest worry has to be that people start looking at him as Harold Stassen as opposed to Ralph Nader.
Yeah. Harold Stassen as being a perennial candidate.
Yes.
Yeah. Jake and Menasha, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'm a Nader supporter and have been a Nader supporter for many years. I just wanted to start off with that. My question is revolving around the approximately 50% of the people that do not vote, and I don't care who's running. I assume the Democrats are going to vote for the Democratic nominee, and the Republicans will vote for the Republican nominee. But what will the approximately 50% people who do not vote do? in the 2008 election. Will they vote as a Jeffersonian revolt or just stay home again?
I think we're going to have a big increase in voter turnout in 2008. Virtually every primary state that's been held so far has had a record turnout in both parties that was taking place. And we shouldn't be surprised with that because, you know, the stakes of this election are very high because there's dissatisfaction with Iraq, worries about the economy, and issues like education and health care remain unresolved on the agenda as well. And so I think either with Ralph Nader or without him, there's going to be a record turnout. And there hasn't been a lot of evidence so far that people are dissatisfied with the choices. Let's say it turns out to be McCain and Obama. I mean, both of them have strong support within their party bases, but each of them also runs very well among the independents. And people who don't vote historically are more likely to be independent than either Republicans or Democrats. So I think a Ralph Nader would have actually done better if in a general election between, say, a Mitt Romney and a Hillary Clinton, because neither one of those candidates had strong support among independents, and so that would have left a little more space for an independent candidacy. But I think with both McCain and Obama running strong in the middle and among independents, I don't think there's going to be a huge turnout of new voters that would favor a Nader over a McCain or an Obama.
Mm-hmm. Jeff in Polk County. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for taking my call. I'm happy to see Ralph Nader enter the race. I think, as your earlier caller from Madison said, he will, if he's allowed in the debates, and to the extent that the media covers his campaign, he will bring up issues that won't otherwise be talked about. I come from the point of view of a Green Party activist, and in 2000 I campaigned for and supported Ralph Nader in Wisconsin. I did not in 2004 because, as you'll recall, Ralph refused to seek our nomination in 2004. We had David Cobb as our nominee. I'm a little curious as to your description of his candidacy as a third-party candidacy because we still haven't gotten any indication from Ralph whether he's going to seek the Green Party nomination this year or whether he's going to cobble together some sort of an independent run for president.
Yeah, that's a good question. Is this an independent run or a third-party run, or is there a difference, Professor West?
Actually, your caller is right. We don't know at this point because Nader has not indicated whether he will run on one of the existing third parties or basically be a Lone Ranger and run an independent bid.
Thanks very much, Jeff, for the call. We are talking about the bid for president announced by Ralph Nader on Sunday. Welcoming your reactions and questions for our guest, Daryl West, a professor of political science at Brown University, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll talk with a guest who says that Wisconsin's legislature needs to pass the Family Justice Bill. We'll talk about what that is and why she says it's important coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about Ralph Nader's bid for the presidency. He announced that he will run for president. And we are talking about this with Daryl West, a professor of political science at Brown University. And as we talked just before the weather break, Professor West, he hasn't indicated whether this will be as an independent or as a third party. Is one better than the other, different than the other? What's the difference?
There really won't be a big difference in terms of Nader's prospects in 08. The only exception would be if a third party has gotten more than 5% of the vote in a preceding election, then they can qualify for automatic status on the next election, general election ballot. And that is not the case either in terms of the Reform Party or the Green Party or the Libertarian Party. None of them have gotten 5% of the vote in the last election. So whether he runs on one of those party tickets or as an independent candidate, he still is going to have to collect signatures to get on the ballot. I mean, that's really the crucial thing. And so it's not like the third-party option would make it easier for him.
Yeah, that's interesting. Al from Milwaukee sent an email. Dennis Kucinich was the candidate I liked best, but obviously no chance. After him, I genuinely liked John Edwards and contributed $500 to him. Next was Obama. Not especially liked, but better than Hillary. Contributed $500 to him. If Obama wins the nomination, I'll vote for him. If Hillary wins, I'll vote for the Green Party candidate, presumably Ralph Nader. I'm considering voting Democrat this time, but will contribute to the Green Party in all future elections. Want to react to that?
Certainly, you know, there are people out there who are going to be dissatisfied with the choices. The question is, how big is that part of the electorate? I think both McCain and either Obama or Clinton control that by how they campaign. And interestingly, Hillary Clinton in the last week has started to run ads that sound like John Edwards ads. She's going after corporations, saying the middle class is being squeezed, nobody's fighting for the little guy, and she wants to be that candidate. So she perceives that there's some space against Obama to run that type of campaign. We'll find out on March 4th whether that tactic has been effective for her.
Yeah. Charlie in Cloquet. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to follow up on the two gentlemen. One of them was called John from Madison. I agree with them that Ralph Nader is right on. But I have a theory as to why he's not liked as much now as he used to be 10 or 15 years ago. I believe, in a nutshell, that the American people have just gotten stupider since then, thanks not only to the public schools, but generally the news media. You see it in jaywalking segments, for example, on Jay Leno. And when Ralph Nader goes on the Tim Russert show and uses five-syllable words and makes statements that are head-on, but beyond the mental capacity of most of the electorate, yes, you're right, there's no way he's going to win. I'm glad he's running. I think I'll probably vote for him now. And that's my comment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's, his popularity has declined because the American people are stupider.
I don't think the American people have gotten stupider. If anything, people are actually more engaged and probably more informed in this election just because they see the stakes as being so high. One of the reasons we've had this big increase in voter turnout is people are upset about the direction of the country and they are turning out to vote whatever their particular values happen to be. The American public never has been terribly well-informed, either now or 10 years ago, 20, 30, or 50 years ago. You know, if you look at public opinion surveys and just ask people as an open-ended question to name the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, I think it's something like 5% or less of Americans can actually do that. But it's no different today than it was 20 or 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Margo in Platteville, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm also a green person, and I've raised my hope in the United States that Nader is probably going to run. I have been depressed about the candidates running. Obama's okay. Hillary, I'm not too happy with because of the NAFTA problems, etc. But if he had equal time on television, if he had had last time with the other two candidates, do you think he would have had a chance? He had hundreds of thousands of people at his campaign events, and it was never covered.
Now, if he would have gotten more coverage, would he have done better, Professor West?
Well, you know, we have the case of the, say, Ron Paul on the Republican side and Dennis Kucinich on the Democratic side of candidates who were presenting viewpoints that weren't that popular within their own party. They were invited to the debates. Obviously, they didn't get as much time as Edwards, Clinton, and Obama got in answering questions of those debates, but they, you know, did participate in those debates, and it didn't really help either one of them. I mean, they got, you know, a little more attention, but it didn't allow either one of them to break through. And so I don't think that even if you put Nader on the stage, people are going to go for him just because of the polarization that exists and the fact that both McCain and Obama run very well among independents, and those are the people most likely to be susceptible to an independent candidacy.
Yeah, I'm not. Margo might have misspoke, but I'm not sure Ralph Nader had hundreds of thousands of people at his campaign events either.
I think she was talking about altogether, not individual events.
Stephen Barron, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Hey, I think Ralph Nader's got a great message, but his biggest nemesis is Ralph Nader because he's just terrible on his logistics. I mean, if he would have sprung this 2 months ago, he would have really done some damage to Obama, in my opinion, because if you want to talk about a candidate with, you know, change on his platform, you know, you got Ralph Nader with the single payer health care system and his outlook on the war and what he's talking about for the income tax structure. I mean, he's just, the guy has got great ideas and he's a wonderful gentleman, I'm sure, but his logistics and his planning are just terrible. And I just like to see what your guests thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think when you look at any candidate, you have to think about both the message and the messenger. And certainly some of the ideas that he's talking about have resonance with some percentage of the American public. But as the caller points out, Ralph Nader as the messenger for those ideas, I think people see that his time has passed, that he's had his opportunity. This will now be his third presidential campaign run. You know, he's never done that well. So even if, a larger percentage might like some of his ideas, they're not buying him as the messenger.
Yeah. I saw one commentator mention that this could help McCain a little bit because now McCain is not the oldest candidate in the race. Ralph Nader turns 74, I think, tomorrow? I'm not sure. Anyway, Ralph Nader turns 74 this week. John McCain, I think, is 71. Here's an email from Michael in Phoenix, Arizona. Regarding the caller who said Ralph Nader was once a hero, this is why I am sorry to see Nader get in this race. He is spoiling our memory of his important contributions in the past. This is like watching Willie Mays play for the Mets years after he should have retired.
It's an interesting metaphor, the aging star who stays past his prime, and there certainly are people who respect Ralph Nader for his past public service, but don't think he should be undertaking this presidential bid.
Yeah, Ralph Nader turns 74 tomorrow on February the 27th. Michael in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I don't really know how to say this, but from watching Ralph Nader and following him through the years, especially lately now, Ralph Nader, I mean, I don't know how to say this, he just appears to have some real mental issues or some actually some issues that maybe he's just out of touch with reality. And I don't ever hear anybody talk about that or, it's not discussed. And I just wonder if some other people might feel that way.
What does he say that makes you think he doesn't have a connection to reality?
Well, first of all, you know, everybody likes these third-party ideas, but is it feasible that any of this stuff is actually going to happen? And when he goes on Tim Russert or other shows and he said that he had no outcome on any of the previous elections, that it wasn't his fault that maybe a Democrat didn't win, that it was the Democrats' fault for voting for him. I mean, he just apparently can't see the whole picture. Mm-hmm. And I think that might just be a little bit of the touch. I mean, we give this guy just a blank canvas and let him go without critiquing exactly who he is. Or, you know, he is eccentric, if you've seen any shows on him. And I think maybe he has some issues that are a little bit stronger or deeper than just being eccentric.
What do you say to that, Professor West?
I mean, I think Nader does engender a wide range of reactions. I mean, you know, from the callers this morning, we've heard people who love the guy, people who used to love him and no longer love him, and then this caller who thinks he's now lost it and is out of touch. And, you know, that's Ralph Nader's problem, that, you know, as a messenger for his particular ideas, there's going to be a number of people who just think either he's out of touch, his ideas aren't right, or he's not the right guy to lead this type of movement.
Now here's a Barack Obama, another reaction to Ralph Nader's entrance into the race.
Yeah, my sense is that Mr. Nader is somebody who, if you don't listen and adopt all of his policies, thinks you're not substantive. He seems to have a pretty high opinion of his own work. In many ways, he is a heroic figure, and I don't mean to diminish him, but I do think there's a sense now that, if somebody's not hewing to the Ralph Nader agenda, then you must be lacking in some way.
Professor West?
It's very interesting to hear how Obama is dealing with the Nader thing, because he obviously doesn't want to attack him frontally, because he doesn't want people who actually like Ralph Nader to end up voting for him. He would want the support of those individuals, so in praising Nader as a heroic figure, but then basically saying, hey, you know, I can do a lot of the things that Nader actually believes in. You know, it's a way to basically try and appeal to those Nader voters.
Yeah, we only have a minute to go. I meant to ask you, might we see another independent run for president with Michael Bloomberg waiting in the wings, or is that over, do you think?
A few months ago, it actually looked like Bloomberg would be a possible independent candidate. He was kind of laying the background for that and having his staff do the research on ballot access and otherwise. But I think if McCain and Obama end up being the nominees, both of them running strong among independents, they occupy the real estate where Bloomberg would do well, because he basically fits the profile of a fiscal conservative and a social moderate. With those two candidates, I don't think there's really any room on the political spectrum for him. And so at this point, I'd be surprised if he ran, just because I think you know, he would have wanted a Romney-Clinton race.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Darrell West, professor of political science at Brown University. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.